Welcome, children, and gather round. This is the Black Channel, CBA After Hours. Because I can, so I will. And you are welcome to join us. The number is 646-871-933. 646-787-1933 is your personal access code to the blackest radio program in existence. The only one of its kind on planet Earth today, and you are more than welcome to join us, so I invite you to call in. After Hours is a little bit different because I actually do engage in some other things and discuss some non-economic things from time to time here, because I do understand that there is a lack of steering out there going on. So definitely you're going to want to be part of this, and you are going to want to let your friends, family, and everybody else know that you have found the home of intelligent black thought. You definitely want to be here. I conducted a little bit of an experiment earlier today. Some of you may approve, some of you may not approve, doesn't matter. But I conducted a bit of an experiment early today and was so that I could determine exactly, you know, some of the things we're seeing out there, because I want to know. I want to know what's happening, and I want to deal with things in a real-world way. So that was why it was important to me that I be able to find out exactly what the problem is. And that was why I wanted to do this special half hours tonight with you tonight. Because I see an illness, I see a sickness, I see a problem. And I do want us to address that. I have put a post earlier today in Relationship Talk. Now, that's a group that's got over 50,000 members in that group. And I asked a very simple question. Very easy, very simple question. I asked that all the females who are single and never been pregnant, I ask for them to just say, hey, I want you to stand up and say, all I want you to do is just tell us I'm single and never been pregnant. Paul, I'm single and never been pregnant. Simple as that. Do you know that out of 50,000 people, that we only got a handful of them? Did you know that? Out of 50,000 of them, we only had a handful who stood up and said that. Only a handful. And I'm talking about, so far I've counted about 10 out of 50,000. 10. Just 10. Now, if you don't think that is a bad statistic, I don't know what will. If you don't think that that's a bad thing, I don't know how to relay that to you. I don't know how to communicate that to you. So I want to devise what we can do about that kind of thing. I want to know what we can do about that kind of thing. And I'm going to a few ideas by you here, and we'll see what we can do to help pare those numbers down for you, okay? Let's see what we can do to try to pare those numbers down, because 10 people responding out of a group of 50,000. That's Holocaust numbers right there. I want us to do our part to help break that particular wall down, okay? Let's see what we can do to help do our part to break that wall down. Some people to call me up here tonight and tell me, what do you think? What do you think of the idea of a group? Do you think, what do you think of the idea of a group with paid membership for the remaining females out there, particularly black females, who are not bastard baby makers, so that you would not have to filter through all of the slugs and the slime out there? I want to know from the men, what do you think of that type of idea? That instead of having to slug through a site or a place or a club or a building or a phone book or whatever with a bunch of females who bring you liabilities and problems, what do you think of a service, a group, a subscription, whatever? Would you actually spend money in order to separate yourself from the riffraff? That's the question that I want to ask tonight. Would you, as black men, be willing to pay money so that you are not bothered by the ineligibles and the lowlies? Would you be willing to do that? And if you are, I want to hear from you. Don't just sit out there. The phone lines are open. The number is 646-787-1933. 646-787-1933 is your personal access code to the Blackest Radio program in existence. This is TBA After Hours, and I definitely want to find out what your thoughts are on that kind of thing. I'll see if I can take a couple of phone calls here. Caller from 631, you're on live with the BlackChannel.net radio.
TBA, James Ford, how you doing?
What's on your mind, brother?
I think that's a fantastic idea. I'd like to include fitness levels and raised by two parent families as well. I think people would pay for that.
Okay, wow. Now, you didn't just say it. You upped the ante.
Had to.
Now this is the kind of black male that we can work with here. Now, you're on my friends list, James.
I am.
And you've been there for a while. You're one of the few people who actually does a lot of thinking about stuff, which is good. We need reflective people. Brothers and sisters, this is the kind of person that we need right here. I don't even have to ask if you've contributed to 7 a.m. With you doing that much thinking, I know that you were just eager to do that. So,
absolutely.
I mean, that's a businessman, y'all. That's the businessman. His mind clicked and latched onto those other things that quickly. He was like, TBA, you're like Meyer Lansky on that. TBA, I don't like your idea. What's wrong with it? You ain't looking big enough. You haven't put enough. You haven't made this enough worth my time. We need to start moving this bar up higher if it's going to be worth my money. So what'd you say? Not only
absolutely.
Can they not have kids, we need to have kids and fitness level.
It's imperative. I mean, like, that's what we're dealing with. That's what we're dealing with right now. You know, like, we discuss this all the time, and that's what you are encountering. Like, it is rare. It is rare. I'm 30 years old. I have no children. I'm doing my thing. I'm, you know, building a business. I take care of my body. These are things that we think about. And if someone's not on that level, then you can't consider them as a wife because they cannot pass on. What are they going to feed the children, you know? Like, what, you know, like, and especially the whole point of being raised by two parents, that's huge because that delves into how they, you know, how they're known to either respect males or men and deal with men as a whole. Like, you, you encounter women who are not used to dealing with a man in their life or have never been treated, you know, properly by a man, their dad, then you're dealing with those sorts of problems. So you want to eliminate those problems, and that's what you look for if you're looking for a lifetime partner to build with. And that's what we're encountering. I'm 30 years old, and it's extremely difficult to find. It's extremely difficult to find. I'm in New York, but, you know, and you just rarely see it.
I have a... There is a specific position on this that we need to make clear, brother, and needs to be plainly stated. Everybody is not eligible to be a wife. Now, how old are you, James?
I'm 30 years old.
Okay, you're 7 years younger than me. But I think even you understand this, that being in New York and whatnot, most of these females out here are not eligible to be wives.
Nope, not at all.
Now, by that, I do not mean that they are not wife material at this time. And if they do X, Y, Z, they can become wife material. I'm saying that some of these females are so screwed off that they are not now, nor will they ever in the future be eligible to be a wife. They just need to give up on the idea of being a wife, period. Wifehood is just not in the cards for you. It's not going to happen for you. That you are so messed off, you got so many stretch marks, so many kids, you got more good years behind you than you do in front of you, if you have any at all.
Absolutely. I mean, like,
that you are, you just, we tried to warn you before you crossed that point of no return. You are 40 years old with a beer belly. You are not eligible. Beer belly and stretch marks on your stomach, your back, your legs, your shoulder blades. You are not. I've seen females with stretch marks on their necks. You are not eligible to be a wife. It does not matter what you do. It doesn't
it's
matter.
Over. It's over.
The game is over.
There's no,
for you.
There's no coming
it's
back.
It's finished, and you are no longer eligible.
Agreed.
It is time for you to leave the dating pool. It is time for you to get out, go in the locker room, take off your swim trunks or your bathing suit, and you must leave the pool.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, like, especially... And like you say, you know, all the topics, whenever you post about, you know, the female fitness motivation, and you get the people that come out of the woodworks with their ridiculous excuses, but it's true. Like, a man of means is not going to want a woman that is not about anything. And if you are not able to feed yourself properly, then what are you going to do for the children that we bear? I mean, it goes beyond aesthetics. And aesthetics is huge because men are visual creatures. And I don't care what any man says, but... it's all about your options. If you have the option of getting a woman that takes care of themselves, you're not going to choose a woman that's sloppy. I mean, like, I don't understand the thought process behind that. Like, I don't, man. And New York, you know, these women on these dating scenes, these dating sites, majority of the women have professional photography. Like, they take professional pictures for these dating sites. Like, it's no joke out there. So any man that has that has a lower standard of woman, it's unexcusable, especially in New York City. That means they're not about anything.
Now, what that means is that we as the males have to make sure that we are bringing what's necessary. Just saying that we haven't been to jail and all that stuff, that's not going to cut it.
Right.
But by the same token, all these females who are just totally ineligible, that's not acceptable anymore. Actually, it was never acceptable, but all these females who have absolutely no reason being in the room, I want to know if black men are willing to pay. Would they be willing to pay to filter them out? Because I just went through an experiment where, all right, let's take a look at this right now. Assuming that the numbers haven't moved very much, okay? Because Will pinned it to the page for me, and I appreciate that. Out of 25 25 likes. Most of the likes came from males. 25 likes, about a 25 likes, 209 comments, and about a dozen females who said that I'm single and have no children. Now, I didn't put a weight restriction on it either, by the way. I was just like, look, can you meet even that basic requirement of I'm not a slut who has jumped on unprotected penises? Can you meet that basic requirement? Hi, I'm not a dumb slut who jumps on naked penises for fun during the time period I know. I didn't get pregnant for fun because I thought that this would be cute to do for the summer. Are you not that stupid? If you're a female who's not that stupid, let me know. Do you have an IQ that is able to get off the ground at least as well as a rocking chair that got kicked over? Can you do that? And what we found out is that out of 50,000 members, we could only get about a dozen females who could answer in the affirmative. And what I'm saying is that as black men, what we are witnessing is the generation of the failures of the bastard baby maker era. And as black men, only 20% of black men are single fathers. 50% of dating females are single mothers. That means that the 80% of black men who are not totally screwed up, we don't have the option of trying to sift through the 50% of black females that are the mains of the day.
Exactly.
We don't have the option of sifting through that.
I believe that men that are that really truly are about black empowerment and want to build a black family, that's the weapon we're dealing with. I mean, like, and I'm younger than you. We're still in the same zone, but I feel like the previous generations, like the 70s and like the latest was the 80s. I feel like that was like the last generation of women that were, you know, about something. Like it's really abysmal. Like it's abysmal out there. And I live in New York, man. Like it's crazy. Like it's like the fake hair, the bad bodies, the bad attitudes. It's like what are we supposed to do? Like how are we supposed to meet them? And I know they're out there, but it's hard to find. So yeah, I think that men would be willing to pay for that. People that especially that are truly about something, because it would raise the standard of, right, you're raising the standard of the female, and if the female standard is raised, then the man's standard has to be raised in order to get to that caliber of woman. And I think that'd be perfect, and I think that would perpetuate a better generation later on, because that's what you need, especially in the internet era. Like it's extremely difficult. You know, internet dating is huge, but sifting through those three things, that's what you're dealing with. Like, I date online, OkCupid or whatever, and you see the women that reach out to you, and they're not in their zone. They're not attractive. They don't take care of their bodies. And, you know, they have babies. And I'm like, that's who's reaching out to me. You know, I'm like, I'm not going to have children. Why do I gotta deal with your children? Like, I'm not with it.
But we as black men need to understand that the reason that white men don't have that problem is because white men come to the table with power, wealth, and influence, and they recognize their self-worth. So what that also means is that we can't have a bunch of dusty, lame niggas. The male children, we have to get rid of the female children of the bastard baby makers, but we must also filter out the male children as well. We can't fix anything if James Ford says, I'm not going to fool with the fat, dusty, shaped chick who can spend 5 hours a week at the hair salon but can't figure out how to spend 30 minutes a day working out. I can't fool with her. And yet Tito over here is sitting up here saying, well, hell, if she ain't got no kids, that's good enough for me. Or it doesn't matter if she's 300 pounds with kids, you know. She ain't got a bad attitude as the last one I used to deal with. We got to make sure we filter him out. He's not fit to be here.
That's right. That's right. But
because
how you filter him out? How you filter Tito out?
Something up like that.
Yeah. How you filter Tito out is you ask the same questions that you ask everyone else. You know, what are you building? What do you own? What are you passing down? And if they're not about anything, then that's how you filter them out. I mean, and you could verify these things. These are things that you could definitely put into action for verification. You know, income or whatever your your standards would be for the man, you know, you could do the same thing for the woman or vice versa. So I think that would be – I think that's a market. I think that's a market, definitely, you know. It's better than Black Planet. It would be a better – it would be a better zone of finding ideal mates, because it's extremely difficult and it shouldn't be this hard. And I agree with you.
I mean, this is,
you
have to understand, this is what feminism set out to do. You had a bunch of fat, ugly, lesbian white women, sick, deranged, out of their minds. Oprah Winfrey is the black type, by the way. And their idea was to destroy male-female relations. That was their goal. Their goal was to destroy male and female relations. And they realized they could not make the men weaker. So what they did was they decided to poison the well of suitable females. After all, these are fat lesbians. They weren't going to be having any children.
They didn't care, yeah.
So, I don't give a damn about that. They did not have a problem teaching you to screw up your daughter. They had no problem doing that. That was fine for them. You can screw up your kids. That doesn't bother them. And what we are dealing with now is the wreckage from all that. That your mamas and your grandmamas played ball with white supremacy in the form of feminism. Think of that as the ladies' shaving razors. The men were integration. That was the Bic and the Remington. And the ladies were given their Lady Bic and their Nair and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Feminism. So feminism taught the women to trash their own children, trash their own daughters. So that this was a campaign not to stop the men of their generation, but to come after you and me. You see, that is why they're the enemy. White feminists are the enemy because they saw you and me as their enemy, and we were not even born.
Mm-hmm.
They hate you and I as babies simply because we were born. And that is why they're the enemy. But they've underestimated the ingenuity and the savvy of this particular opponent. They've underestimated us. We're a lot more capable, a lot more agile, and a lot more efficient than they ever imagined we could be.
Absolutely. So, absolutely.
What we're going to do is we're going to flip the script and we're going to change things. Because we understand that, baby, you can whine and pitch and moan all you want to, but money moves the damn world. Money moves the world.
Absolutely.
And we can get what we want if we are willing to pay for it.
Absolutely.
By that, I mean we can get what we want if we have enough power, wealth, and influence to do that.
And that's the only way.
It doesn't take a lot.
It doesn't. Absolutely. You're right. You know, I've been listening to you for a long time. Not a long time. I discovered you, I think, in December-ish or so. But my brain, like, you know, it's just been wonderful. It's been a wonderful journey, and I thoroughly appreciate this realm, because it's not something that I've ever experienced, and this is what I'm going through. And I just feel like I was not prepared, you know, and I've been on my own until I really discovered this forum, and now I'm like, I'm more concise in my movements, and I'm like, you know what? I need to do more. I've always been, you know, entrepreneurial spirit, but like I know I need to do more, and I want to do more. And I mean, the only way, like you said before, the only way I'm going to bring a child into this world is if I have something to pass on to them prior to my death, like every other race does. Every other race does it. I went to predominantly white schools, you know, growing up in junior high to high school, and I saw what they did for their children, and it's so crazy that it's like starting from scratch, and I'm like, that's insane to me. It's insane to me.
Now, in New York, what is the position of non-black men on this kind of thing? Or do they have the same list of complaints?
Hell no. No way. There's no, you know, like, they're not even in the same zone. Like, they're killing it. You got people who own. They have tons of stores. You know, and I'm seeing in the area that I live in now, in the last year, I lived here for a year, and I live in Jackson Heights. The last year, you're seeing the gentrification machine, like, full steam, because this location is so hot because there's five trains in the zone walking distance, but people weren't feeling it. But you're seeing people come into the area, and they've already raised the rent 25% in a year, you know, like and you're seeing it, and you're seeing the other races that own businesses, they're killing it, and you're seeing the blacks, the black males, the black women, like, they live in the same zone, they live in, like, a story of housing or whatever, and they're still tricking off of, like, Gucci and whatever, like, you know, they're coming all the way from the most expensive stores, and they're going back to the hood with their bags, and they're lost, and I'm like, I've never seen it happen so quickly, like, it's crazy to understand what's going on, they're not, and people are not prepared, and they weren't prepared. I mean, like, it's like you said, it's economic genocide. I mean, like, it's crazy, man. It's only in a year, 25% increase.
Now, and understand, that's without the economic bombs being dropped. That is without a situation where they built brand new condos across the street from you. I forget where it is right now. Let me look this up right quick. I want to get the exact. Okay. There was a situation where it's like in New York City, it was Chuck Schumer. And they had put this project together because they want to build like six high-rise buildings right on an area where they're trying to put a new subway through in New York that's going to connect, I think, to Jersey.
On the west side, probably the 7.
And they, what they did was that they are going to, basically they want to, like, put a concrete over it now so that the builders of it can go ahead and start building, because they, like, if we don't do it now, then they were like, if we don't do it now, then we won't be able to, they're afraid that the contractors will pull out, basically.
Yeah.
That if they don't let them go ahead and build these high-rises here, then they would just say, hey, we've already waited a year or two. Why should we wait any longer? You know, let's just go somewhere else. So New York got federal funding so that they could basically concrete this thing over so that they can build the high rises now and they can put the subway through in 5 or 7 years.
Uh-huh.
And can you imagine if you live within a half mile of that? In New York City, I guess it could be up to a whole mile of that. Could you imagine if you're in a residential or if you're in an apartment building or a condo that is near that, and they're putting in not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, six high-rise buildings. Can you imagine that? I don't care who you are. You just went from being worth $100,000 to $1 million+.
If you are an owner, only if you're an owner. If you're a renter, it's irrelevant. And most people here are renters. That's the problem. most, like 70%, 75% of people that live in New York City are renters. So that's what you deal with. People don't own their own places. Even though they may have, you know, rent-stabilized apartments, they're only paying $300, $400 a month for rent. They don't own anything. If they do own, then that's great. But the majority of the people that live in New York City aren't, especially Manhattan, that own are not black. So it's great if you own something, but that's not the case for most people.
Now, if you've got a house, well, you wouldn't have houses in that area, but I'm just saying, if you live in that area, think about what the rent's about to do.
Oh, it's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy. If they're building high-rises, you know, and you're not in a rent-stabilized location, and the demand is high, because there's the problem with Manhattan is that there is a scarcity. The vacancy rate is never above 1%. That's why the rent, the average rent is $3,300 in Manhattan. I mean, like, you tell people out of state the average rent is $3,300 and you're still living in, like, 400 square feet of property, they can't even fathom that. But that's what it's going, that's what's going down. It's crazy, man. It's crazy.
Now, I think it might be, because I looked on his site, I think it might be for the Greenpoint and Steinway subway tunnels. I'm not 100% sure. This is going to bother me because I remember reading the story, and they want to fix it, and they're going to pave it over now.
I know what you're talking about. You're talking about Long Island City. That's where Five Points, there was like this huge building that was dedicated to like art, like graffiti and stuff like that. They just, I think that's what you're talking about. Because that's the realm that I feel like they're gonna be building up. Greenpoint, Steinway. Steinway is Astoria. Greenpoint is Brooklyn. And that junction is like, that's that realm right there. That's that area. So I think that's what you're talking about. I might be mistaken. There's very few places where they still have like air rights and such like that where they can build high rises at. And Long Island City is one of them. Even though there was a huge influx, like people made a lot of money in Long Island City over the last 10 years because it got built up very, like in an insane amount. So the inventory is tight right now. So that influx it'll generate more prices. But the average rent for a one bedroom in that area is like $2,000, about $2,100 for a rent for a one bedroom, I think. And the average, like, one-bedroom for purchase is, like, something like $700,000, something like that. You know, it's insane.
And what I'm saying is that with that type of building going on there, and I've been to New York, and the problem is that with this many people willing to pay that kind of money, what's going to be left for y'all?
Nothing.
What's going to be left for y'all? It's just going to be this outrageous amount going on, and there's a lot of money being spent. And with that being the case, brother, y'all ain't got time to sit up here and fool around with hood rats.
Nope.
Y'all don't have any
time
to fool around.
You can't, you know, like you can't because if you're in the know about what's going on, then you know, like, listen, I can get to you later. I can get any woman that I want later. Like now, like I do well, but like I'm not even focused on that because I'm like, you know what, you're pennies and whatever that fund that I can have is irrelevant because at the end of the day, if you're not assisting me and my growth, then you're really just hindering my growth because it takes time and effort and money to deal with you, and I don't have that to waste at this point because the machine is coming for me, and if I can't survive and to the point where I'm thriving in this area, then I'm going to be forced out, and I have, you know, I'm not willing to gamble like that. And that's why you can't mess with these people because you need people that, you know, you only want to be with people that are going to help you grow. And if they're not going to help you grow, then I'd rather just wait and just fuse that energy, transmute that energy into growing my business. Because that's the only way that I'm going to be able to sustain here.
Now, for the, I think it's called the Gateway Project. I think you might have been right about that. I think you're right about that. And with that being the situation that you're looking at there, you know, if you're not if you're not putting yourself in a position to be on top of things, you're not going to have a place in New York. And I want the females in particular to be listening here. The worst nightmare that they are having is the idea that we as black men would actually start thinking. That's the problem that they have, is that we as black men will start thinking about something other than females, other than sex, other than self-gratification, that we would actually start taking a look at the bigger picture. Because that is the means. If you do not have control of your women, you do not have control of your society.
Absolutely.
Of course they want to jump in and form a wedge between us. If they can cough, you control the women, they cough, you control the society. We got you.
Exactly.
And not enough black men understand or care about power, wealth, and influence, and they understand that. But when we, as the men, start focusing on power, wealth, and influence, and then start saying, okay, you know, I've done X, Y, Z, I deserve a better class of woman.
Exactly.
They want you to sit up here and say, I deserve a better class of shoes. Everybody wants you to have the best shoes. Everybody wants you to get the best pants. Everybody wants you to get the best belt and the best jacket. But when it comes to your females, you're supposed to scrape the bottom of the barrel.
That's unacceptable. That's unacceptable to me. I've never been a person that you know, I've always been self-employed, so I never looked at material things to justify my worth. Like, and I just never was into it. I never was into it. I'm like, I need my money to make me money. Like, whatever I put my money into, I like quality stuff. I'm not going to buy cheap stuff, but I don't have Jordans. I probably make more than most of these people that buy them, but, like, just I don't care about that stuff. Like, at the end of the day, like, what is my shoes, my sneakers are for performance. Like, I like nice suits, nice shirts and stuff like that, but I'm not going to live beyond my means to try to front like I'm something that I'm not, when my money could be spent in better ways to build. Like, that's all I think about, is how can I make my money make me money. And clothing, unless, you know, I have plenty of nice suits that I look great in, you know, that people will never guess how much they cost me. But, like, I don't understand that thought process. But I think that process comes from, especially with the sneakers, that's a female trait. Like, I don't think that, you know, I feel like that's what women care about. Women care about shoes. I never met men that were raised by two, you know, parents that were so into shoes. Like, I feel like that's a single mother thing passing on to their boy. Because I just don't understand that.
Okay, the name of the project, yeah, I've been over here looking the whole time. The name of the project is Hudson Yards.
Hudson Yards
Development, and okay, the funds that he wanted, it was Senator Schumer, and they wanted, like, he's so proud of the money that he got, he doesn't want to say how much it was here. But in any case, it says the funds will go towards an 800-long concrete casement, also known as a tunnel box, between 10th and 11th Avenues in the Hudson Yards, that will forever preserve the right-of-way for two new flood-resistant tunnels into Manhattan's Penn Station. The new concrete casement will simultaneously be built underneath the Hudson Yards development project currently being constructed by related companies and Ox Properties Group.
Okay, they're extending the they want to extend. There's a train called the 7 Line that they want to extend to go to all the way to 12th, because right now it stops at 8th Avenue. So, like, anyone that lives west of 8th Avenue, you know, it's a pain in the butt because they got to walk four avenues to get to any trains. So what the residential buildings do, the rental buildings, they have, like, shuttles that run. So, like, it is a less people don't want to live in that area because it's a pain in the butt to get to. So they want to extend the 7 because the tunnel's already there. From the old lines, they just have to clean it out or whatever. So that's exactly what I thought it was you were talking about.
That's going to be a massive thing right there. And what I'm saying is that the men who are in themselves in position are actually doing something. If you're going to be living in New York City, man, you got to have your paper right now.
Absolutely.
I mean, you have to start planning today because these dudes, I mean, for those of you who do not live in a major metropolitan city like New York, and really New York's real estate is like nothing else in the world. When somebody talks about building in downtown Manhattan or whatever, the costs are not going to be measured in millions. They're measured in billions.
Yep.
Whatever Absolutely. It is will be gigantic, and it will cost lots and lots of dollars. And if you are within a square mile, it will affect your prices. Whatever you do own. Don't you know that by building Hudson Yards, they can effectively quintuple the value of everything around it?
Absolutely.
Assuming you don't already have a skyscraper, of course. Now, it will not affect skyscrapers. But I'm going to put this link up in the chat room for everybody there. You all can either click on it or copy and paste it. But there's a link to the story. It took me a while. I don't let things go. I don't let things go. But it'll let you know about that right there. Now, the story from Crane's New York Business, $185 million tunnel to nowhere for now. From the AP, taking shape on Manhattan's west side is a $185 million federally funded tunnel that leads to nowhere for now. We've already gone over that. It's 800 feet long. It's 35 feet deep of concrete. And the access tunnel is being built now because the massive Hudson Yards development with six skyscrapers, the tallest being 80 stories. Everybody, they're doing that concrete casement now, and they're saying that they're going to build six skyscrapers, the tallest being 80 stories, will be built on top of it. Skyscrapers, 80 stories, downtown New York, on Manhattan's west side. And you think that Negroes are going to beg you? A black man having to live in this environment, you think he's going to beg you to keep your drawers out the streets?
No way.
We do not have the time or the luxury of convincing somebody that they should be or they should do the right thing. Nobody's got time for that.
No, we don't. We are so far behind, especially in this city. The time for games, it's over. Like, anyone that doesn't understand what's going on, after a certain age, you need to understand what's going on. If you don't, then you can't be helped because we don't have time to educate people on what's going on around them. If you're not intelligent enough to see what's going on, that we're being annihilated, then what is there to discuss? We need to build people that understand what's going on so that we don't waste our resources and our time. Because time is not our – we don't have time. We don't have time to waste, you know. So, like you're saying, that's going to be crazy. Anyone that owns in that area, it's going to make anyone that lives, you know, that owns there, it's going to make their prices go crazy. Just like the Second Avenue station is going to be doing for the people who live on the Upper East Side. Upper East Side has another train that's being put in place that's going to make those properties go up like crazy. And Upper East Side is still one of the most expensive places to live in New York City, but because it's so far east, it's so far from the train that the prices are lower. But when that Second Avenue line comes in, which is probably another 5 or 6 years or whatever, that's going to blow up prices too. I mean, that, and we're talking, and those prices are already insane. So, I mean, it's crazy, man.
And that is why I'm making this point now that, you know, as black men, we need to understand that a war was waged against us and salvos were fired against us before we were even born.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not playing with us, man. They are serious.
Nope.
Those feminists were serious about taking us out. And they figured that the best way to stop us would be if we had no women to be with, no women to reproduce with. And that is only going to work if we remain powerless, penniless, and not influential. That's the only way it's going to happen.
I agree with you.
And as males, like I say, if we are willing to do that, because it's going to come along with everything else, projects like what I'm doing are a good start, but I want everybody to be about that. Because, brother, I mean, I was all over that place, as you know, last year. And in Philadelphia, you know, the reason why you don't have much there is because black men in Philadelphia have sat down. I saw it first and foremost with my own eyes. Black men in Philadelphia have outright sat down. They're not doing anything. I saw it. Brothers ain't running nothing in Philadelphia. We're 49% of the population of the city of Philadelphia. We run nothing in that city. Nothing.
It's terrible. So terrible. It's terrible.
Chinatown is more valuable than any black part of Philadelphia you can go in. And we're 49% of the population.
Chinatown, they stick together, man. They do not play. With group economics, they come in, they sacrifice for their children. Not only do they have businesses to pass on, but they also pay for education and stuff like that. But they teach their children how to be merchants. And that's what they do. I mean, like, that's what they do. I mean, I don't understand how people don't see this. Like, I'm 30 years old, but they've been doing it for a long time. Every other ethnicity has businesses. You know, they do. You see in every area they have business. They're merchants. They're passing on, not only are they passing on education, but they're passing on businesses and experiences dealing with and running businesses. And that's what you're dealing with. So we have these people who think that, yeah, it's great that you have an education, but where you need to get a job somewhere. Where are you getting a job at? You got to apply to a job. Who owns the jobs? So you still don't have power. And you, like you said before, you can't pass on a job. So what are we doing? Are we going to continue to perpetuate this mindset of poverty? Or are we going to evolve and step up to the ranks like we're supposed to? Because we're stronger. We're strong, man. We, especially the American blacks, we've survived the Middle Passage. Like, we are strong people, but people are not. They're just not aware of it. They just succumb to nonsense and foolishness, and that's what's just, it's just terrible, man. But this is where it happens, and this is where it changes.
And it's going to begin with us as black men. It really has to begin with us as black men. How do you think that other black men in your circles, not the idiots out there, but the ones in your circles in New York, how do you think that they would respond to something like this?
The problem is,
I'm not even gonna say website per se. I'm just going to say a movement where we as men understand that it's going to take financial means to weed out the unfit females that we might be encountering. How many black men do you think are understanding or open to that type of concept?
A small percentage is even aware of this concept. I mean, like, even with my friends, like, they're not in the zone. They're not in the zone. So it's like, I feel like I'm by myself. Like, the only refuge I have is with this broadcast and the people that I deal with online. Like, it's hard to, I don't have friends that are in the zone like this. But I think there is a percentage of men. I mean, like, it's probably a small percentage. It's probably 15% maybe, you know. But I think there's a market for it. I do. And I'm always looking for people to collaborate with and grow with and build with, because that's what we need. It's imperative. But I just feel like I'm by myself, except for this broadcast and this forum and online. It's hard for me to, you know, I talk to people on the train all the time. Like, have you ever heard about Black Authority, Jason Black? I'm like, yeah, you should look him up. I talk to people all the time. Like, this is what you need. This is what we need. But I don't know if they follow up, but, you know, like, I know how important this is. Like, it is so important, because we're going to be annihilated if this does not be, like, put in place. Like, if we don't grow and show that we can provide and build, then we are going to be annihilated, because it's already happening. I mean, it's happening. It's insane in the South. The South is just like open season, but it's open season in the North in another way. It's more economic, but it's still open season. And people are just
I've seen it because now down here in the Southern United States, what you have is a bunch of old plantation mindset black folk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, either those who realize that racism is real and doing something about it, or those who realize racism is real and they just want to get back to picking the cotton.
Mm-hmm.
You go out west and all of the non-black men are using black females as their cat toys.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially. Can we just be honest about it?
Absolutely.
I've seen young white boys out there and the black females are just cheesing, just grinning if they can get one to pay them the time of day of attention. They're just cheesing.
Exactly.
Boy, I mean, big grins on their faces. Big grins. Boy, you would have thought you just won the lottery right after finding the cure for cancer. Big grins on their faces. And then when you go up north to New York, like I say, I mean, it's when you have these economic ghost towns, brothers, don't y'all understand that they have maneuvered us into a position where they can make your women their slaves or their whores, one or the other? I see it just that seriously. I don't treat this as a game. This is not a game to me.
It's not.
This is not a game to me at all because they are playing dead serious. There is no place in America. Somebody explain to me, where is a place in America where black men exercise power over white women?
Nowhere.
Show me
a place
in America where black men have more power and influence. Forget wealth. Just power and influence over white women than white men have. I'll even let you include pro sports if you want to. Go ahead, try that one. Go ahead and try it.
It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. Because at the end of the day, the sports players are still employees. So they're getting a small percentage of the serious piece of the pie. You know, and they're happy with that, and they're so happy with that that they're too scared to act or anything out of that. I mean, like, it's our athletes today. They have no, you know, they're not like Muhammad Ali and anybody else that stood up to any kind of thing. They're happy just living their lifestyle and you know, being taken care of. Like they don't care. I mean. And the black men
are the equivalent of the females who raised them.
You're right. You can't teach a man to be a man if you're not a man. So, and no matter how you know, I don't care what you're saying. That's what we're dealing with today. Like, we're dealing with men. Well, we're dealing with grown boys with feminine tendencies, with testosterone. So, it's really crazy. It's crazy, man. I don't know. I'm so happy that I've actually found this forum. I really am.
Well, like I say, I want we as black men to start understanding that we've had this myopic vision of ourselves foisted upon us by the world. And particularly since so many black males were raised by single mothers who are the handmaidens of white supremacy, that you've become divorced from the ideas of manhood, and you've really become conditioned to think that your only viable option is a single mother because most of the females are wasted. I'm saying is, you know, I wonder how far are black men willing to go to avoid being stuck with a single mother. And I don't care if people think I'm beating up on single mothers, damn you. But how far are black men willing to go to avoid being in that trap? And if black men are willing to come together, females are going to see what y'all are doing.
They have to follow suit.
Females are going to see what you're doing, and they're going to say, hey, there's a bunch of dudes over there, and there are rewards to be gained from getting with their program. Why would I not
Absolutely.
Do that?
You're right.
Because white supremacy ain't giving out nothing but welfare checks. Well, I ain't really trying to have no welfare check. living in no housing project. I'm not really trying to do that. So let me see if I can get some act right and get with the right program. Let me see if I can do that instead.
You got to give them a viable option, because right now they don't have a viable option, because most guys are not on that game.
No. Most black men have not presented the females with a viable option.
You're right. And that's why we have the standard of woman that's out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's very hard to sit up here and complain when you have not given them an alternative to say yes to.
You're right.
If we're not giving them an alternative that they can approve of, then what do we think they're going to do? So that's why I'm saying that as black men, I want to see more things done. And like I say, once 7 a.m. is concluded and whatnot, and I can get back to life as normal, whatever in the hell that might be, I want to put together a set of programs, something like an interactive workshop or whatever, where I can deal with these things in depth and help black men to understand that. But at the same time, brother, black men have to understand that that's the only way they're going to get what they want.
That's the only way. It's economics. It's all, you can have as much game as you want, but you're still, you still got to pick through, trying to find a needle in a haystack. If you can make it so that you are raising the bar, like, listen, we got our wealth together, this is what we want, then everyone will, they will have to follow suit or perish. But at this time, they're like, why do I have to do this when these dudes will take me right now and you ain't bringing anything to the table? And that's true. You got to be able to bring something to the table to get higher quality females. And that's what it is.
You know, I've had to explain to the brothers before that females do not respond based on racial allegiance.
Nope.
As a group, females do not have racial allegiance. They are self-centered, conceited creatures who think about their own best interests first.
100%. Security.
And that single mothers teach their sons, oh, no, we don't think like that. Yeah, but how'd you end up a single mother?
Yeah, exactly.
If that wasn't the way you think, why did you let all these people lay on top of you? Because you thought there was some benefit to be gained, and they would never believe you, so that you're hoping that you can deceive and brainwash your children. And then TBA came along and told the truth. Aw, snap. So in a situation like this, you have to understand they don't have a racial allegiance. They have a social allegiance that is economic-based, or should I say security-based.
Absolutely, 100%.
And that they will bend to whoever can provide the greater economic security. And black men completely refusing to do that is a problem. Take a look at what I've done with 7 a.m. Do you see how quickly we could fix so many problems if we as black men came together?
Huge.
Think about it.
It's huge, man. The movement.
I had struggled with that. I mean, think about that. Issa Rae, when she did Awkward Black Girl, Issa Rae raised $56,000 at the end of 30 days. She raised $56,000. And hopefully we can see about passing that here soon. Hopefully. But as men, think about this, though, brother. I want you to think about something. She made $56,000. Can you name a project by a black man that has been able to get twice as much through crowdfunding as Issa Rae got?
No, I can't.
Now, Tariq Nasheed on The Last in Colors, I think he topped out at $72,000. Not bad. Not bad at all.
He did a
good
movement.
But it's still not double what she got. I mean, it's more than shot. It's head and shoulders above what shot. But what I'm saying is that a man-sized difference? And
no.
I'm not blaming Tariq. I'm not saying it's his fault. What I'm saying is that we black men, do we put as much into each other as black men as the females do?
No way. We don't support each other nearly as much. I mean, like, I feel like these programs that are, like, cooning and buffooning, they get such amount of exposure. People are willing to share the most ridiculous things, the most ignorant things. But when it comes down to, like, the real discussion, they're so scared because they don't control their own economic the lifestyle, their own economic future. I think that's a huge part of it. Like, they're scared to talk about topics that are affecting them because they're scared of what their counterparts are going to say because they don't control their own lives. But I feel like if people would just look at real things instead of all this buffoonery and open their brain and work together, then you could destroy these things that are irrelevant, you know, and really build. Because we have enough money in our community to do so, you know. And anyone that says different is a liar because, like, you see it. You see the squander. And people are still trying to justify their worth by their purchases, you know. They're trying to prove themselves through their purchases, like the civil rights movement kind of, like, projected. They're still in that mindset, like, oh, I have this most expensive belt and whatever, so you got to respect me now. But it doesn't happen like that. It happens with economic power and group economics, and that's what people need to see.
Well, it will be up to us whether or not we want to make changes on that, but nobody's going to give us what we want. As black men, we need to understand that nobody's going to give us a damn thing. I've been saying it for 5 damn years on this microphone. The only thing we're going to get is what we go up and go get for ourselves. And that includes that includes everything else. What we want out of this life, we got to get up and go get it. There are no rules. The only rule is win. I'll let you have the last word, brother.
Keep doing it, TBA. I love it. I listen all the time. You're helping me elevate, and I want to pass it on. So I really do appreciate your time and your efforts, and I can't wait to see 7 a.m. And I will donate again. Just keep doing what you're doing, brother. Black first.
Black first, brother. Thank you very much for joining us here tonight. Let's go ahead and see if we can take another phone call here. Caller from 912, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Black first, CBA, Stephanie. Usually calling from North Carolina, but calling from Georgia tonight.
Oh, she's been kidnapped and just got away from her abductors in Georgia. Should we contact Department of Homeland Security? Wait a minute. No, they'll just shoot you.
No, I've got to wake up my nephew, and I don't want that to happen.
All right. Do you need assistance?
Not at all. Everything's under control.
I'm just checking. Let me know if you meet any frauds down there in that neck of the woods. You never know. They might ask you for a donation so they can go to the basketball game. So definitely want to make sure that you avoid that. What's on your mind, sister?
I was just wanting to comment on what you were saying earlier about the whole website thing and how are you going to filter that?
Hey, I didn't say I've been thinking it over.
Oh, because I was like, I can see it right now.
I'm just saying, I'm not saying we got that deep off into it, but what I am saying is that a means by which we can cut down through the garbage, you know.
I can see where the females, like, make up some stuff, and then, like, once you start talking to her and be interested, then all of a sudden, all this other stuff that you didn't want comes through.
Stephanie, you, as a female, you have no earthly idea how bad it is out here.
Oh, I know, because I'd be like, didn't he say that he didn't want, girl, that don't matter. What?
Well, I mean, it goes beyond just that. You will have, and the guys will bear me witness on this, because I've seen this happen to people. You will have females who will tell you that they've only slept with 4 guys. They done slept with 14. They will tell you that they've never done this or that act, and Negroes got them on video. I mean, they sit there. I've seen females who will look a fella directly dead in his eyes with tears gushing down her face, lying to him. I did not sleep with that guy. I did not sleep with those people. Lying to his face, looking him dead in the eye and lying. I've seen it. I've seen it, Steph. I've seen it. It's no joke. I've witnessed it. And what I'm saying is that in a situation like that, where we've got female talk, I mean, like, me, myself, my advice to anybody is do not mess with a female you've met online. I've seen, as a guy who sits on the sidelines, based on what I've seen, I can't. But then again, the other side of it is, well, hell, offline ain't a hell of a whole lot better, to be totally honest with you, though. That's the only catch to it. Is, by the way, offline ain't a whole lot better. But most females that I've seen online, even the ones who like me, most of them got emotional imbalance issues. Now, I'm talking about, like, Kathy Bates, damn me, Misery. You know? I mean, they've got severe emotional imbalance issues. A lot of them be on some meds. I'm not even joking about that. A lot of them need to have some prescription meds prescribed for them. They've got severe issues. And the
like severe anxiety type issues or just,
I mean, like, you know, just
emotionally
like,
disturbed.
Let me put it like this. Evelyn Lozado is much more common, than any of these females out here like to let on. They have a lot more in common with the Evelyn Lozados and who is the chick who was always fighting and stuff on basketball with the other show that got the female arrested. Was that Portia something, I think it is, or whatever.
I don't even know.
Always antagonizing people. I forget about it, but that is very commonplace. And I noticed it particularly emanating from females online. Got that. I've got 6 females in my inbox just on Facebook alone right now who 2 days ago they were cursing me out. I hadn't responded to none of them. A few days ago they were cursing me out, and now they're talking about how great I am.
That love-hate relationship, huh?
Okay, but this is like their second or third round of doing that. And when I say cursing me out, I mean cursing me out. I'm not like the fraud. I don't mean, you know, I don't have to make things up. I can show you screenshots of them. I mean, I told y'all about the girl who said, TBA, you can go to hell. Remember I told y'all that when that was the first sentence out of her mouth when I read it. TBA, you can go to hell. Guess what she's saying now?
To your Harvard.
So what I'm saying is that is much. How do you establish a relationship with a group? Because these females are not anomalies. How do you establish a relationship with a group of females who exhibit this type of manic behavior? Now, you know in your inbox that this man is just trying to get some sex. But unless they're a fraud type individual, somebody like him, you know, they're not going through a bunch of manic stuff. He's just trying to get some sex. And if he can't, you don't hear from him again. But with that being the case, you all do not understand, because, Stephanie, it's one thing for a man to tell you that I don't have a girlfriend. It is totally different. Do you understand, Stephanie, that it is a total world of difference between telling a woman I don't have a girlfriend and a woman telling a man I don't have a child?
Different.
What was that?
Could you repeat that?
No, I'm saying, do you know how big of a difference it is between a man who tells a woman I don't have a girlfriend and a woman who tells a man I don't have a child? Now, they're both lying. Now, if you take a look at my chat room, by the way, she's back, and she's in there cursing again, by the way. Go look at the chat room, Stephanie.
I can't look at the chat room. I don't have internet here.
Oh, my goodness. Well, anyway.
I'm in the boondocks. Save me.
I can't save you. Look here. You ran your ass down to Georgia. I'm going to see if I can get the Greyhound people to fish you out. But
I thought it was a good idea.
For those of you in the chat room, I mean, you know, she's in the chat talking about, TBA, you're a liar. I've not contacted you since I told you, go to hell. Go ahead and block me. all caps, exclamation points, whole 9 yards. And I'm leaving it there now. I'm not doing anything about it. I'm going to leave it there because I want everybody to see that, by the way, I talked about her and here she is back again. Now, they're calling my bluff on it, and in a certain way they may. It just depends on how far I go. Because unlike most people, you know, I'm not like the fraud or whatever. I don't have to sit up here and divulge personal conversations, even people who say stupid things to me. I just believe in, as a rule, as my own personal rule, I don't engage in anything. But what I will say is that, understand something. This is the mentality of the type of people that we're meeting online. I mean, as soon as I said that, she jumped out of nowhere, and here she is again. So I'm glad she's still out there listening. Okay, I'm not really. But, I mean, she's still out there listening, and this is what we're up against, Stephanie. This is like an evil neighbor who just won't go away. It's like, what about Bob? It's like this stalker who is just mildly chasing you around from city to city. What about Bob? What do you do with somebody like this? So what I'm saying is that, do you understand the difference between a man who lies about having a girlfriend and a woman who lies about having a child?
Both detrimental.
No, but, oh, Lord.
Oh, you're talking about, you got something that's permanent where you can just bring that with his girl?
I asked, do you understand how big of a difference that is? It is one thing to lie to a woman and say, I don't have a girlfriend, when you really do. I'm not saying it's not a bad thing, but what I am saying is that's not the same as saying I don't have a child.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not the same as saying the child is yours. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't slept with anybody else. I haven't slept with anybody. Nobody. This is your child. I'm the only person I slept with. And look what they do on Maury every day. Before DNA, how many men have been out there paying for children that were not theirs for the last 40,000 years? Because females have no hesitation about looking you in the eye and lying to you. A male won't do that. He's not going to sit there and pull at that long. We got too many other females we can be laying on top of. We ain't got time for that.
Ooh. Where do you think the line comes from?
Where do we think it comes from?
Yeah, I mean, like, because they got away with it all growing up, or is it
Yeah, I mean, they're repeat offenders. They've gotten away with it, but furthermore, they have a sense of entitlement. Like earlier today, there was a female who was out there. There was a video of this girl. She pushed this boy, so this boy picked up this garbage can and threw it at her. And she was sitting up there talking about men should never hit a woman under any circumstances, even if she hits you. You're not supposed to defend yourself. Now, as a woman, she said that not only could she defend herself, but that if a man said something that she did not like, she had the right to hit him. Because he offended her.
Very
now, remember what I said about emotionally unstable, mentally and emotionally irrational. What she's saying is that I'm a slave master and the men are slaves. Well, ma'am, just because you hate men, that doesn't mean the rest of the world is going to go hate them with you. But tell me, how do you build a family as a man? How do you build a family with a female like that who says that, well, in my world, I have the right to hurt you if you say something I don't like, but you can't do anything to me, even if I'm threatening your life. You can't do anything.
That goes back to the whole playing a role and the whole men versus lady type thing, because a lady wouldn't be doing all of that in the first place. So if you consider yourself a lady, I mean, if you want the guy to be a gentleman, then you should act like a lady. If that makes sense. And so somewhere along the line, and I think a lot of...
If she were getting beat, if she got... She said that she would tell her son the same thing, that you don't hit a woman under any circumstances.
Tell her son the same thing?
Yes. She said she tells her son the same thing. Okay.
Okay.
And she said, and don't y'all call him no simp. He ain't no simp. To which I responded to her. I said, so if you got jumped by two females and your son was there, what you're saying is that you would tell your son not to do anything to help you, correct? She never answered that. She never responded to it, never answered it.
Hmm.
If she was getting beat up by two women, do you really think that she would be okay with her son just standing there? Well, Mom, you told me not to hit females, so you told me not to. She said that he should turn around and walk away. So what she would want in that situation, if she got beat up by two females, she would want her son to walk away, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, isn't that what she would want him to do? Just get up and leave? Now, what do you think she's going to do if she gets home, assuming she survives the encounter, and she's busted up and bruised up and beaten up, and her son is sitting at home saying, well, you told me not to do anything. Now, do you think she's going to walk over and pat him on the head and say, good boy?
Far from it. She'll probably try to beat him up after that.
Now, will you please tell me? Now, you know that's a lie, and I know it's a lie. Tell me how, and plus she has a child. Now, that's the scary part. Tell me, how do we build a family with a female like that?
You can't.
And I'm telling you, that's typical of what you're finding out here today. It's typical. Why are there so many black men who have trouble with the police because of their girlfriends? That's typical.
True.
And all of them walk indoors saying that, oh, no, I don't do that kind of thing. And then what happens? In the case of a lot of them, that's what happens. So what I'm saying is that as far as filtering is concerned, there's only so much you could do. But there are things that males need to do on their own, okay? If a female tells you that she's not messing with anybody else or whatever, it's going to be up to you to ask the right questions to determine that. And if something doesn't sound right or look right, it probably isn't. Now, I can't convince people to not behave in a naive fashion. I can't make you do that. You got to do that on your own. But all things remaining equal, you have to do that. How about for a woman who's had an abortion? Now, you all do know that there are exams that they can do that can determine if a woman has had a pregnancy before.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there will be mentally retarded and emotionally unstable individuals out there who do not listen very well, because we all know that don't happen, right? But for the mentally retarded and emotionally irrational who do not listen, you brain-damaged crack babies of the 1980s, I said they will determine if a woman's had a pregnancy because, of course, what a man wants to know because of abortion is a hideous crime against humanity because it is when you kill an unborn baby, or in some cases a born one. Looking for an abortion, per se, start looking for signs that she's had a previous pregnancy. Well, how do you do that? Go ask her that, you know what, you need to go schedule for an OB-GYN. I'm talking to the guys now, not female. You need to schedule to go see a gynecologist for her. Not one that she knows, but one that you know. Do not tell her who the gynecologist is until the day that you take her there. And then you go in with her. And you are to instruct her that when we go see this person, you are to tell them that you want the results of this test. You want to be examined for any type of previous movement of your cervix or anything else. We want to see if there's been any type of dilation or anything else that would indicate that a baby or something has passed through the birth canal. I want to know if that's ever occurred by what you see here. And we want you to tell her that you want to give the results to me, that you want both of us to get the results, or better yet, mail them to us so we can both see the results. Now, find out what she says to that question. Now, if she sits there and says, okay, let's do it, follow through on it. But be careful, because if she knows she's had a pregnancy before and she knows she's had an abortion, she's not going to want to get that exam. Now, understand something. Doctors and coroners can tell you all the time if a woman was pregnant or if she's given birth. Hell, anthropologists can tell you that. For corpses that have been dead for thousands of years. How is it all of a sudden? It's just like I told the fellow who called me earlier about finding his father. Please, man, they do it all the damn time. They do it all the damn time. And you all have been fooled by your bass baby-making single mother broodmare mammy sluts that somehow they don't have a way of finding that. They told you that there's no way of finding that because they didn't want you to ask questions. They don't want you to have those questions answered. Oh, look, I'm telling everybody all the secrets here.
Well, it need to be told.
Like I say, because as black men, feminism attempted to disarm you before you were born. This is the black channel where feminism gets its ass kicked every day and white supremacy gets itself beheaded every day. We're the only place that does this. I give you information. Get her to go get an exam and tell them that you want to know if there's been a baby that's come through there. And if she says yes, and make sure the reason you go in the doctor's office with her is to make sure that there's no alteration of the results. She sat there and she told them, which means now you are leaving there expecting to get those results. And if anything happens to those results before you see them as the man, you know that she did it. Oh, yeah, by the way, you get her to pay for it. One more thing. By the way, you get her to pay for it. See, we're not going on no fact-finding mission. If she's innocent, she has no problem with taking care of that. Hell, I'll put the damn deductible for you. But as far as the procedure, no, you go get checked out. Let's see what's going on there. And just we'll get the results, and we'll take a look at it. Now, if she balks at that and starts hesitating, we found our guilty party. And I want every black man out there, you fellas have been cowed and intimidated. You don't want to ask for a nuptial. You don't want to ask to wear a condom because she told you not to, and that's how you got the baby. And now you're being told by the sluts that you know are walking out there that most of them have engaged in slutty behavior. And you know that a good percentage of black females, in New York City, for example, the majority of black females have had abortions. I would definitely want to know that. I would want to know that precisely. Has she had an abortion? If she has, that's one thing. But if she hasn't, let's find out and make sure. Let's find out and be sure. Simple as that. Let's be certain. Now, once we're certain, you can move on from there. But as men, I need men to do the work men are supposed to do. I want to give men the tools to be able to sift through the garbage. What good does it do if I'm the only one who knows it?
Well, hopefully the other guys will use it as well.
Well, I hope they will. A lot of them will be dumb and just keep. A lot of them will be dumb and walk off and do it anyway, but.
Yeah, because they'll let the female talk them in.
Well, I mean, as a female, you have never been worried that a man was going to walk up to you and say the baby's yours.
True.
So that's what I'm saying about the difference between those kind of things. It's one thing for a guy to say that he lied to you about having a girlfriend. It's another thing when a female lies about being pregnant. We can't play this game any longer where we have... If a woman is willing to lie to a man about who she slept with, well, I only slept with just you, and she slept with four damn dudes, and Maury Povich can't track them down, What kind of mother to your children is she going to be? The question, Stephanie, is does a man have a right to know what kind of mother to his children that a woman's going to be? And I think that we all understand that the answer to that is absolutely yes. He deserves to know what kind of he deserves to know what kind of mother you're going to be to his children, just like you deserve to know what kind of father he's going to be. Now, she has the ability to check a criminal record or anything like that. I need to know if she's the kind of woman who would kill children. I need to know if she's the type who would do that kind of thing. Now, if she is the kind of woman who will do that, she's got to go. But first, you have to understand, Steph, it would be great if we could cut off liars before they became liars, but unfortunately, we can't do that. So what we have to do is we have to investigate. And what does that mean? That means you're going to come across liars. I mean, that's just a fact of life. A fact of life is it's impossible for us to guarantee that we will meet no liars. What we have to be able to do is identify the liars so that we can weed them out.
Yeah, but I think it's kind of difficult to do that. Because like I said, I mean, it's clouded judgment. I know especially for me, like I said, with the different guys and stuff. And I've become quicker at noticing things, but I think I know for me and the whole dang thing, I make up excuses for the guy, and I just keep doing it until it's like, okay, that's enough. So, I don't know. So I can only imagine, I would only think that's kind of how it is for a lot of the guys as well.
Oh, now why would you want to do
that? You want to make it work so bad. I don't know.
Well, I'm just saying, why would you want to do that stuff?
Do what?
Make excuses.
I know. It's bad. It's like they can make their own excuses. Stephanie, why do you have to do it for them?
You're so nice. You really are.
Oh, you're cheating on me? Okay.
No.
I didn't do my hair last Thursday. So, okay, I can kind of see that. Okay, I see it.
Stephanie is so nice, y'all. She really, really is. So, but with that being the case, though, Stephanie, like I say, too many black men have got it in their heads that somehow females have an allegiance to us based on racial identity and nothing else. And what I have been trying to impress upon them is that that is not the way the female mind or the female psyche works. It doesn't work that way. It'd be nice if it did, but it doesn't. And with that being the case, the men are going to have to do the extra legwork necessary to be able to retain control of the playing field. And what that means is that as black men, we are going to have to do more to make sure that we weed out the unfit. Now, do you think that's unfair that we want to disqualify certain females out of the gate?
No. That's just that's like what I tell other people. I know I'm not everybody's cup of tea, and that's okay. And I think that's, going back to women, I think that's a problem with a lot of women. They don't understand that every guy doesn't want you, but that's okay. You know, it's kind of like when you go off on single mothers and they're like, well, what are we supposed to do kind of thing, which to me they should be focused on the kids, but that's neither here nor there. But it's like, okay, this guy says he doesn't want single mothers. You should respect that. Don't try to, convince him otherwise or beat him over the head with frying pan because he doesn't want that. Keep it moving. Is that so hard? But I guess
the desire to be. Go ahead.
Wanted by everybody. You want to be desired by all men, no matter what kind of man he is. I don't know what that is.
It's called female ego. It's just the same way that men want to be desired by every woman they see, even though they have no desire of sleeping with them.
I don't know. I don't want every guy talking to me, though.
Well, I mean, okay, you don't want every guy to talk to you, but you do want every guy to be amiable to doing so.
I guess.
Okay, I want you to think about this for a moment, okay?
Okay.
Think about this. Stephanie is at the store. She's at Walmart. She's in the checkout line, and she sees this dude in the next checkout lane. He's a little pudgy. He's got male pattern baldness going on. Stephanie's like, eh. He looks over at her. Hi. Stephanie's like, so not my type. And off Stephanie goes. Stephanie's not very thrilled. Stephanie goes outside to start up her car, and it doesn't turn over. Mr. Pudgy and Balding, who was trying to wave at you in the next lane, saw you go out to your car and that it's clicking but will not turn over. And he tells you that he's a mechanic. Now what do you think, Stephanie?
I think I might need to call AAA.
Well, I'm just saying. Where you at in Georgia, that might not be an option, but... You understand my point now.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you want people to be all kinds of amicable. It's got nothing to do with whether you want them to talk to you or not. I may not
want to
talk to
you. Yeah, but how would you translate that to the internet?
Because
it's like, I don't really know you from Adam and Eve's house cat, you know?
I'm not understanding what you mean.
You're saying, like, in real life, when you meet somebody, you want, you know, for them to help or might need them. But on the internet, it's a different ballgame, is it not?
Well, I mean, entertaining people's company is entertaining people's company. I think that one of the major problems that people have as far as the internet is concerned, there is a problem with websites like Match and... eHarmony and whatnot, there's a problem with dating sites. And the basic fundamental problem with a dating site is that you have bypassed the fundamental first two steps in meeting someone. We have totally bypassed getting acquainted and becoming friends. Now, what do you mean by getting acquainted? Doesn't that start with hi? Not really. Getting acquainted encompasses the entire ritual or process of meeting that person. In the case of the internet, we logged on to Facebook, we logged on to Match.com, and boom, we're together. We didn't even do a feeling out process. We've been put together like Adam and Eve and told, okay, y'all work it out. Without ever deciding or easing into it. It's just, hey, I'm Steph. I'm Jason. Okay, are we going to fall in love? I don't know. Are we? That's literally the way it happens. Because you both already know why you're there. Some people see that as a plus. I see that as a horrendous liability. Because I don't even know you, but I'm being expected to mate with you. How much pressure are we putting on ourselves, because already I'm expecting you to conform to all of these preconceived notions that I have? Because didn't you come here to be my woman? And your Stephanie is like, didn't you come here to be my man? Well, you're not pleasing me in that way just yet. When do you get there? You see, we're already putting pressure on each other, and we just met. Because we're both expecting each other to conform to a standard that we're not even sure about.
Yeah, but, I mean, is it not like when you meet somebody and you're like, well, for me, it's like, okay, is this guy just playing? Because, you know, people get online and pretend that they want something and then they don't, just like in real life. And it's like, okay, is this guy serious or is he just like trying to see where he can go? You know, like,
wait. No, I'll back it up, Mm-hmm. Ring the buzzer, and I'm calling bull jive on the play.
Oh, what?
You just sat here and said that people pretend about what they want, and they lie about what they want.
I mean, well, I feel that way. So let me say that.
Stephanie.
What?
You are 30-something years old. What in the hell are you talking about? If men are still able to lie to you at this stage of your life, in your inbox, they're still able to lie to you. My Stephanie is either a lot nicer or a lot less swift than I thought she was. Stephanie, is he a man? Stop, Stephanie. Is he a... The first question is he male?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he is. Is he in your inbox? Yes, he is. He wants sex.
Yeah.
Now, mate, the question is not, does he want sex? The question is that all he wants? But let me just make this a lot easier for you and any other female out there. Is he a male? Is he in your inbox? He wants sex. May not be the only thing he wants. But you need to determine, is he worthy of it? Because I'm telling you, that's what he's there for. That's why he's there. Now, if you sit up here and sleep with him and say, I didn't know that that was all he wanted, I'll just reach to this phone and slap the hell out you myself. Because it's like, Stephanie, what the hell is wrong with you? How is he going to lie to you?
Every you man. Know how they promised the moon and the stars, trying
but
to act like they just...
Stephanie, why would he be promising you anything?
Exactly, and that's what I be thinking. I'm like,
then
God,
how
please.
Can he lie to you? First sign.
I know, but...
The first sign
maybe
that he's
it goes
lying,
back to me
he's promising
excuses.
You things. The first sign that he is lying is that he's promising you things. Baby, you can't promise a woman something that you haven't known for at least a year or two. The only thing that a man can be absolutely certain of within the first 5 or 10 minutes of meeting you is that he wants to have sex with you. Now, that he's sure of. Anything else, that's going to take time for him to determine if he's sure he wants to do that. But he knows if you're good for sex within the first 5 seconds. So if he is promising you anything beyond sex within at least the first month or two that y'all meet, it's a lie. No man is going to come right out and say he wants sex. I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. No man who is about something is going to come right out and say he wants sex. There's a lot of guys out there who do, and as a matter of fact, you should respect them that at least they were honest enough to just say, hey, you know, I'm just trying to get somebody in bed. What's going on? Slimy, but at least he's being honest. Don't sleep with him, but I mean, at least he's being honest. At least give him that much. But what I'm saying is that you need to understand that all this naivete, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. It's time out for that.
Well, and that's why I wasn't going for it.
If he is in your inbox, he wants sex. Now, that may not be all that he wants in all fairness, but he wants it. Now, if you end up in bed with him and start talking about how shocked you were all he wanted was sex, baby, that's on you. That's on you. That's your fault. Just like if a man sits up here and spends $1,000, $3,000, $5,000 damn dollars on a female within the first 2 months of meeting her. The only thing that she can determine for certain within 5 minutes of meeting you is that you got enough money to pay for these shoes. Now, that she knows. So if she's promising you all kinds of feelings and stuff, maybe she can't figure that out within 5 minutes of meeting you. There's no way that she knows that within a few minutes of meeting you. There's no way. The only thing she knows for certain is that you have enough money to pay for these shoes. Now, if you end up getting broke off because of that, that's your ass.
Okay, so basically just kind of confirmed my thought on all of that, which is good. Very good.
So let's not be naive about this. These guys are not grinning ghouls with long, sharp teeth sitting in the shadows who've taken advantage of the fair maiden. Y'all are just some naive and dumb females out here who are listening to your hearts and trying to get something for nothing. Listen to me, Stephanie, very carefully. Nothing in this world is free, including love. You're not going to get love for nothing. You are going to have to earn it. And that means if he comes in the door promising you love, you know damn well that's a lie. But he knows that's what you want to hear.
Well, I have a question on that. Because I've gotten two different responses on... Well, I went out with a guy. And first date, he was, like, trying to talk about, like, ask me about my exes and stuff and figure out what went wrong or whatever. And so I was like, you're not supposed to talk about exes on the first date, are you? And then when we went somewhere else, he was like, he said something about, what if I propose to you in June or whatever. And so I was like, I don't know you like that. And so I was telling... Well, two different guys I had a conversation with. One of them was like, you shouldn't have said it. You shouldn't have said that. You should have said, oh, well, I have to get to know you better. And the other guy was like, you did the right thing by telling him that you didn't know him like that. So which do you think was the best way to approach it?
I think that it's okay if the guy asks you about your exes. It's a dangerous
on the first day?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay,
it's a dangerous sign if it's a dangerous sign if the guy is talking about his own. That's a
dangerous. So if he talks about his own, then no. But if he brings up, I guess, past relationships, then that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, if he talks about his own, that's one thing. But it's quite a different thing if he's talking about yours, that's one thing. He's trying to get to know you. That I would accept. He's trying to get to know you. Other than that, no. Because I'm going to ask you about your exes. I'm just telling you right now, I'm going to ask. If for nothing more
Well, and that's expected, but not on, like, the first... Well, and I guess the reason I say, you know, are you supposed to ask that on the first date is because I read it in, like, a magazine. But it was, like, a girly magazine, so that's why I was
Wait a minute. Say it again?
It was, like, I don't know what magazine, maybe Cosmo or something, I don't know. But they basically were like, you don't talk about your ex on the first date.
Okay.
So that's
CJ,
why I found it kind of weird.
CJ was asking the chat room, is there a limit on how much info you give about your exes, or do you just bear it all? Now, that's a personal decision that you have to make. It would depend on how far in the process I am with someone. If I just met someone, I'm going to be very general. As a female, I don't think that as a female you should go into how many... I don't think you should go into how many sex partners you have had unless you're going to be intimate with this guy. Now, if that's the case, it's up to the man to decide... You know, because if you used to do porn, it's like, oh, hell, her sex partners are in triple digits. You know, but as a guy, as a female, no, that's not something I would even discuss on the first date. I would not discuss how many sex partners I've had. I would not go into those types of specifics. I would go into, I could talk to him about my last ex. I don't think I would go any further than that. I don't think for somebody you just, I don't think there's someone that you are still feeling out should have a well, a Bible of information about you. I don't think that's for somebody that we're still feeling out. I think that is for somebody that I have developed a level of comfort with. This is somebody that I can talk to in this way because I'm, because I, the female, I am trying to go further with him. So since I want to go further with him and he's asking these further questions, I'm going to go further. But do you see what it is? You're not giving that information because he wants you to. You're giving this information because you've decided that he wants to go further and you agree that the two of you should go further. So it's time to lay those things out there. But if I just met a female, she's giving me a whole bunch of information about herself. Remember what I told y'all about Farrah Gray's steps to getting a millionaire? Whoa, I didn't know all that mess. Not right off the damn bat, I didn't. Because, you know, I may be able to accept certain things, but if you're just dumping this baggage on me, what that really tells me is that you've got an emotional weight that you're carrying around, and I can look for this kind of thing to happen regularly in the future. That every time you feel like dumping, you're going to do that. And see, you went over to your mama's house, and now you're dumping over there about our relationship. You see what I mean now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that can be a telltale sign that could be a problem, an indication of future problems. So as a man, I'm going to watch that kind of thing. I want to know if you're doing that kind of thing. But as a female, no, you're not being dishonest by not divulging your whole sexual history. That's one of those things that you and him know, you know what, when we get to know each other better. That's a fair answer to give. Hey, we just met. It's our first date. I'm just trying to determine whether or not you escaped from Bellevue. So, you know, here in Shreveport, we call it the 10th floor. At the main hospital here, LSU, the psychiatric unit is the 10th floor. So here in Shreveport, we call it, you know, if they're off the 10th floor. So when you hear somebody in Shreveport talk about the 10th floor, now you know what we're talking about. But, I mean, as a female, you're just trying to determine whether or not this guy's a bloody psycho. That's all. You don't have to sit here and go over a whole bunch of salacious details on a first date or a second date. You get to go into detail when you have passed that acquaintance stage. You see, we sat up here and told ourselves that a date is where you decide if you want to have sex with somebody. You don't decide from a date if you want to have sex with someone. You're still getting, a date is so that you two can become better acquainted. That's part of the acquaintance process. You can have a date with somebody you're not even friends with. That is the purpose of the date, is so that we can become better acquainted. That's why we're having a date. Now that I know that we're having a date, you know, that's the kind of thing that I would look for.
Okay.
But as
so
a female,
question,
don't get wrapped up in that. Don't get wrapped up and don't get fooled into believing that, you know, you've got to do X, Y, Z. That's just false. You don't have to do that. That's not true at all.
Yeah, I know that much.
So, I mean, I know, you know, I'm not, you don't want to be dishonest. There's no component here by which I'm saying, okay, you can be dishonest. That's not something that you do. Because understand something. A man, the first time, a man is looking for a woman to lie. And the first time that you lie, particularly about sex, he is never, 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 ever going to forget that. Let me make that very, very clear to you. He is never, never, ever going to forget you lied to him. And that is never going to go away. Not now, not ever.
Hmm.
Not now, not ever. Remember something, Stephanie. A man never forgets how he met you. All the females out there listening to me right now, understand this is maximum game I'm giving you right now. Your daddy should have taught you this. Your mama would have taught you this, except she was a hoe and a slut, and she don't want you to know this, but because it messed up her life. But TBA gonna tell you, a man never forgets how he met you. If you were friendly but not easy, he remembers that, and he respects you. If he got you in the back seat of his car the first night y'all met, that is never going to leave his mind that that's the kind of girl you are. Never. Never, ever. And then you wonder why he never married you. A man never forgets how he met you. So when you go on that date, just remember, he is going to is going to be etched in his mind like stone how you handled that and what you did. He will never forget it. Forever, that will be Stephanie to him.
Well, could you move to, can you discuss like the response I did whenever he talked about marriage within by the summer or proposing my summer?
No, if a man is talking about marriage, okay, understand something.
I mean, was my response, like, was my response that I gave him, was that a good response or I should have softened the
blow a little bit? No, your response was fine. I mean, you just let him know, okay. Absolutely not. We don't, how long did you know him before he said that?
Well, when we first met, it was like October. So, but when we went out, it was March, April-ish. It wasn't long at all.
I mean, how many months?
Which is why it shocked me.
How many months was it until he said that?
Oh, that was the first date.
Yeah, I mean, but how long had you two been talking to each other before he said that?
How long was that? Like 5 months?
Okay. I can kind of understand why he could psychologically start feeling that. I think it's just something that he should not have said. Stephanie, you and every other female out there, listen very carefully to what I'm about to tell you. I'm just laying all the male secrets out here tonight. Y'all ain't going to get this anywhere else. A man knows if he wants to marry you within the first 30 days that he met you. A man knows if you are wife material for him within the first 30 days that he meets you. He knows in the first 30 days. The next 2 years are just to figure out how much bullcrap he's got to put up with to be married to you. But he already knows in the first 30 days that you are the kind of woman that he would want to get married to. Now, he may be wrong. You may not be. But he feels you are. He knows that he believes you are. So after 5 months, psychologically, he may have crossed that Rubicon, but I think it's more of a fact that you're a very soft-spoken person, and that can lead people to project onto you. That because you didn't say something, they can tell themselves, well, she feels this way or that way about what I said. So that in their minds, you are as into it or as not into whatever they want to do as they want you to be. Simply because you're a soft-spoken person who doesn't do a lot of, you're not a very, you know, aggressive person emotionally. You're not very assertive. So because of that, they can project onto you. So he's like, well, hell, she ain't biting at me. She's doing a whole lot better than the others. I bet you she feels like this. And, of course, that's not accurate, but he can feel that way. Not to say he's a bad guy or anything. he shouldn't have said what he said, okay? I mean, he got the answer he deserved. But I can understand why he might have. Look, it's not a whole lot of black females out here who are worth marrying, okay? I mean, when you take into account what makes a woman wife material, attitude, ladylike demeanor, has she had any kids already? Has she already started the family process? Or does she have enough ladylike qualities to understand that you don't give your vagina to naked penises? You know, simple common sense things that decent women engage in. Is she domestically inclined? Or do I have to teach her what skill it is? How well is she going to care for my children? Once a man has made the determination, and plus because of your occupation, a man can sit there and say, oh, he can probably cross a lot of hurdles in his mind and cross off a lot of check boxes just based on your profession and how you behave to him. So he's like, well, hell, she already knows how to deal with kids, so I better grab her before somebody else does. I think what he was doing was putting his bid in. I just think he was overly anxious that he overestimate the value of the amount of time you all had spent together. He got overly eager, and it kind of blew up in his face. But with the environment that we're in, I understand. I'm not saying it's all right, but I am saying I understand why he would jump the gun like that. He shouldn't have done it, and you gave the answer you should have. I don't think we're in psycho territory with him just yet. However, that's with that limited amount of information, but it does bear watching. I'm not going to say he's a psycho, but I am going to say that you gave the right answer. You don't know each other well enough to be discussing marriage. We've been talking for a few months. We went on one date, and you think you have enough information to determine if I'm marriageable? That's, no. I'm not that good. I'm Stephanie Boom Boom Goethe, but I'm not that good.
Well, that was one of the things where he kind of got rid of himself. Well, he was a turn off to me. Well, I don't know if I should say turn off, but it was like the signs were there that I needed not to pursue any further. So
I was about to say, he hasn't established himself as a psycho, but he definitely warrants watching. And now you've confirmed what I was getting at, which was that, and by the way, there were other signs.
Yeah, there were other signs, definitely. You're not conversation. I've never known a guy to pay for his mama rooms, or rent rooms for his mama. I was like, okay.
To rent rims?
Yeah, he rented his mother some rims.
He rented some rims for his mother?
Yes. Which was very strange to me.
Who was this guy you were dating? Who was this guy you were dating, Jim Jones?
I thought it was strange. As a matter of fact,
I know Jim Jones' mother raps, or at least she wants to, so I'm just thinking, is that Jim Jones' mom? Jim Jones you was dating?
No, he was a college admissions person, too, so you would think, I don't know, maybe it was the whole thing, because he came out to the school and we started like talking that way. So I'm like, well, maybe it was the whole he was in a suit kind of thing or whatever.
How much older? How much older than you was he, Stephanie?
You know what? He was actually younger.
Stephanie.
I know, and that's what I keep. That was another thing.
How much younger? Answer me.
I'm gonna answer. Hold on, I need time to breathe.
You need time to make up this lie?
No, I'm not going to lie. I just need time. He was 4 years younger.
I'm not going to say that 4 years is a lot of time. I am going to say now you know.
I know. I knew.
Okay. This girl had warning signs.
I should have did more.
She had warning signs like a fallout shelter. And yet, she was like, TBA, you don't understand how bad it is up here, Stephanie. I do understand how bad it is up there, okay? Not this guy. But TBA, Stephanie. Not.
Hey, I said I made excuses for the guys, did I not?
No, you didn't say for this guy, but I'm glad we cut clean on it. I was about to say, now this wouldn't be having to be Mr. Excuses with it. Now that we have determined that we have determined who Mr. Excuses was. But, I mean, look, I understand.
Well, it's not just him. It's, like, almost every guy I think I just make excuses for. Like, he can't make up his own. Character flaw, I guess.
No, I mean, what I'm saying is that being 28 is not the issue, okay? That's not the issue. The issue is when you combine it with those other things. When he's 28 and he's still engaging in the world of car rims, that's a deal breaker. That has not evolved and matured enough. Not to be with you, he hasn't. It's not so much his age. It is, okay, how far along maturity-wise is he? And he clearly shows you he's not. He's not. His age is not the issue. What I'm looking at is, oh, because you said that after the warning signs. And I was like, okay, I need to find out something here because this is not congruent with a person who has matured. Now, before I get too far along here, I want to bring in caller from 215. This better be somebody that I know. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello?
Hello.
Can you hear me? Hello?
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 Hello? Hi.
How are you?
I just wondered if we were, I wondered there for a minute there, were we just going to be sitting here and saying hello to each other all night?
No, I had the headphones on, so I couldn't catch it.
Oh, I have the headphones on. I couldn't catch it. What's your name? Where are you calling
from? My name is Rachel, and I'm calling from Nebraska.
Hello, Rachel from Nebraska. I've got Rachel and Stephanie on the line. We're going to start a singing trio. And what's on your mind, Rachel?
No, I was just listening to what she was saying and what you were saying. And I guess I was kind of shocked. I've been looking for some radio like this for a long time in the area that I'm in. And
okay,
we don't have any out.
Let me start with the basics. I'm going to run out of time here. I've got about 45 more minutes, but let's start with the basics. You said, obviously, something that you heard tonight piqued your interest. Are you a single mother, or have you ever been pregnant?
No, sir.
You have never been pregnant?
No, sir.
Okay. How old are you?
I'm 33.
Wow. You and Stephanie are about the same age.
Yes, sir.
May I ask one more question, then? What size do you wear?
Six.
Six?
Size six.
Okay, are you saying six or 36?
No, I'm saying six, a petite six, size six.
Okay, size six. Okay. Are you on my friends list?
Yes.
Really? I should know you
should be. I don't know if you would know me. I don't know how I caught your page. It just popped up, I guess, in my feed, and I was liking some of the things you were saying. And
oh,
I read
okay.
A couple of
them. I think I know who you are. You're actually, you must be new.
Yeah, I've caught your show a couple of times.
Broadcast. Thank you. Steve Harvey is the show. Tom Joyner is the show.
Okay. I'm
a broadcast because, trust me, I can go from zero to unentertaining in about 2.3 seconds. So, trust me, I'm helping you out here because you're going to get your kinfolk on here. He has one show. And then they listen in, you bastard baby-making sluts. Ooh, he's not very entertaining. You didn't tell me he was like that. You said he was a nice show. Not a show. It's a broadcast, okay? Okay, I found you. Okay, well, she is as advertised. I will give her that much. Okay, you're not 300 pounds waddling, so...
No, sir. No, sir.
I'll give you that. So everybody, she's on friends list. She is as advertised, so I will give her that much right there. You look like somebody I know, too, as a matter of fact. I'm not even going to lie to you. You look like somebody I know, and that's why I didn't want to say anything to you earlier when I saw that you had liked one of my posts, because you looked exactly like somebody I know. I'm not going to tell you how I know her, but I will say that I want to control my interactions with her. I'll just put it like that. So at first I was like, oh, hell, how did she find me online? What's she doing in Nebraska?
So, I'm originally from Omaha.
Okay, well, that's Nebraska too, huh?
Yes, sir.
Mo, and are you there now?
Yes, I live in Hastings, Nebraska now.
Okay, because you know
it's 3 hours outside of Omaha.
You know something different on here.
It's just I think it's just Philadelphia now.
Okay, well, what's it going to be?
Well, I'm living in Nebraska now.
Not according to your Facebook game, but okay.
I haven't had a chance to change my Facebook from
Lies.
No lies.
Lies. You are running for that dude, and you don't want him to just look up Rachel in crap. So she said Rachel in Philadelphia. Yeah, Philadelphia.
No, I wish
clean,
that was that interesting.
Queen on the other side of the country.
I wish I was that interesting.
Apparently you are, but by all means, Miss R. Rumley. Now, you had a few statements in the chat room you were making, and I wanted to give you the opportunity to ask them directly. Go ahead. I don't bite much.
I was just kind of questioning when you were saying your standards for a woman. And even listening to the young lady that was on the phone with us as well, I feel a lot of times that women don't set their own standards and are so happy to have a man say, hey, I like you, or hey, you're cute, or I got a nice car, and they're just gone with it. They never make a man step to a standard to treat them better. So it's just a circle of this pettiness going around. And I just, when you were saying, like, how women with abortions or women with babies or women with all these things, I mean, that's excluding how big of a percentage of women that could be useful women that have been damaged.
How can they be useful if they've had an abortion?
They might have had an abortion due to other reasons.
There is no good reason to have an abortion other than if the doctors determine that having the baby will kill you.
That's what I mean. What if she was told your baby is going to come out
But that's not the question. Please listen. That's not the question. The question is, why does she need an abortion?
Maybe she's feeling that she doesn't want to have
it. She needs an abortion because she got pregnant.
I understand. What I'm trying to say is, what if this was a woman who was married and tried to start a family and could have possibly had issues with
we do not even have to entertain that question at all. And the reason that we do not have to entertain that question is because you might as well have said, well, what if Martians came down in a flying soup bowl, not a flying saucer, but a flying soup bowl instead, and were impregnating women in Lincoln, Nebraska? What you are calling up is such a minuscule, small fraction that it doesn't that is so statistically irrelevant, so statistically insignificant.
I understand what you're saying.
That we don't even need to discuss it. What you're doing is trying to pull out, okay, but half of 1% may have had a deformed child, so how about that one? Okay, well, that doesn't even apply. So, I mean, do you have another one? Because how many of us are going to run into a woman who was married and had an abortion because the child might be deformed? And by the way, That's not, by the way, you say that like that changes things. Why would I want a woman who's going to kill my child because the child might have a defect? So that
it
makes
might
it
be
okay.
In the best interest
that makes
of
it
the
okay
child
to,
medically.
That makes it okay to terminate our baby.
No, I don't ever think that it's right to terminate a baby. I was just wondering when you're saying because a woman has been impregnated.
Okay, her Obama phone is going in and out. Rachel. Okay. Mm-hmm. Rachel's call has dropped for some bizarre reason. Not really sure what happened to her there. I don't know if I'm going to try to get her back or not, but Rachel's call dropped there. There is no justifiable reason for a woman to have an abortion except for her health. If the baby is deformed, I don't even subscribe to that. The baby is deformed, let's kill him. So, life is so trivial to you that you are willing to kill a child for significance? Having this child is inconvenient, so let's kill him. Men, you need to take big, big, big notice of a female who talks like that. If a female tells you that they will abort and kill a baby because the baby has a defect, just understand that's exactly what they will do to your child after the child is born.
And I think it's important that to emphasize that it's only a possibility. I remember my professor was saying something about they did some levels on his wife, and it was low, indicating that it would be, like, the child would be deformed. But when the baby came out, it was fine, and it was because, like, he had some Asian or something in his blood. And so it was just like a black and white kind of chart type of thing that they used, and it didn't take into account of the other things. So, I mean, even the readings can be inaccurate. And to me, one of the things about abortion that somebody told me was the fact that if you have an abortion, then that could affect your ability to have children later on. So if you decide to have an abortion, to me, in my mind, it would set you up to miscarry later on, so your chances of being able to conceive a child later on would decrease, in my mind at least.
Well, that's the kind of thing right there that really, really should make a big difference for people. I watch that kind of thing. As a male, if she's willing to kill your child before it's born, understand, she's willing to do it after. Do people actually understand that? She's willing to do that after the fact. That's what the point that I'm trying to make to people. Understand that if she's willing to do this beforehand, she will do it after the fact. She will come back and get that child later. She'll come back and do it. I know that's a difficult thing for a lot of you out there to accept, but I'm telling you right now, if you want to know why your wife, how these women grow up and they're abusing the kids or they are cheating on you and everything else, she already showed you that, but you ignored it because you thought it was inconvenient, okay? Go ahead and keep buying into that. You go right ahead and you keep buying into that. If she will kill your child in an abortion, she'll kill him. She will kill your child. Or do something just as heinous when it's time to raise that child. What if they come up with a defect later What if they develop another disability later? Muscular sclerosis, spina bifida. What if they develop another problem later? Seizures, epilepsy, what asthma, what will they do later? How far does, quote, defect go? That's the point that I'm trying to establish right now. How far does that go? How much leeway are you willing to give them until you have completely trampled on the dead bodies of your children? How much leeway are you going to give? We need to stop looking at the world through idealistic nonsense and start looking at human beings for what they're doing. Everybody wants to talk about how big her booty is. You ain't looking at the fact she's the biggest slut you ever met. And then you got with her and you're shocked that the slut with the big booty turned out to be a slut with a big booty with you. And that she didn't stop sleeping with everybody in town just because she got with you. It was just your turn. She was never your girl. It was just your turn. She was willing to kill this baby because it may be inconvenient. So if this child, you think child is safe just because they made it out of her womb? She starts talking anything even like, well, I can understand abortion under these circumstances. You run. You don't walk. You run. Kind of mother has no problem with doctors going in and slicing and chopping up her child. What kind of mother doesn't have a problem with that? What kind of mother could sit there and not have a problem with that? We as black people need to start understanding human behavior in the 21st century, that we have been in this Eurocentric society for so long, that we have been buried in it and drowned in it for so long, that we're now starting to behave like it. And I say no. Ever want to become like you. There are some good things, but the evils you have brought, I don't ever want to become like you. Not now, not ever. And no amount of pressure and brainwashing is going to make me move across that line. There is no justifiable reason to murder your children. And the only reason why I would give a medical exception is because, and I'm talking about a threat to the woman's physical life, just being depressed does not constitute a threat to your life. If having this baby could cause her to die on the operating table, then if we have to make a decision, I guess we can make that one. But that's the only time. Anything else is murder. This baby could come out defective, but the baby would be alive. Yes, but some human beings are more equal than others. Some human